He who is satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady both in success and failure, is never entangled, although performing actions. So everyone can please repeat. He who is satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled, although performing actions. Purport. A Krishna conscious person does not make much endeavor even to maintain his body. He is satisfied with gains which are obtained of their own accord. He neither begs nor borrows, but he labors honestly as far as is in his power, and is satisfied with whatever is obtained by his own honest labor. He is therefore independent in his livelihood. He does not allow anyone's service to hamper his own service in Krishna consciousness. However, for the service of the Lord, he can participate in any kind of action without being disturbed by the duality of the material world. The duality of the material world is felt in terms of heat and cold, heat today, or misery and happiness. A Krishna conscious person is above duality because he does not hesitate to act in any way for the satisfaction of Krishna. Therefore, he is steady both in success and in failure. These signs are visible when one is fully in transcendental knowledge. Jnana dvanandasya ganam jana sharakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. So I'd also like to personally welcome those who are here, coming for the first time or first few times. I hope that we can give you the opportunity to enhance your spiritual progress. So here it says, begins yadrichcha, yadrichcha labha, that which comes of its own accord. Now, in Srila Prabhupada's explanation here, he says, a Krishna conscious person does not make much endeavor even to maintain his own body. So one may think, especially if you're coming for the first time, that sounds pretty drastic. But actually what it means is that there's a point in one's spiritual development where one lives on the spiritual plane, and therefore everything that's happening on the material plane is inconsequential. So actually Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, our acharya, when he was in Los Angeles one time after a morning walk, he would walk in the morning with his disciples, and when he came, returned, they had at that time, especially when he was there, they would give Mahaprasadam, some nice sweets to everyone as they got back, regained their energy after walking, especially after you walked with Srila Prabhupada. You needed something to pick you up. So one devotee, Srila Prabhupada took his maha, and one devotee asked, Srila Prabhupada, it says that Mahaprasadam, whenever there's Mahaprasadam, one should take it. So why is it that the six Goswamis, especially Raghunath Das Goswami, who was so austere that he would rarely eat, wouldn't he take this maha? No? And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, that's because they are eating with Krishna. No? Otherwise, in their meditation is so deep upon the Supreme Lord, so intense, that that's where the reality is. Just like every morning, those who are consecrated to Krishna consciousness, they every morning chant the holy name of Krishna. And that's our opportunity also to be absorbed on that platform, at least that much, you know, at least for an hour and a half, 2 hours a day, you know, depending on the speed of your lips and tongue, that you can be absorbed, so absorbed that one can understand this is reality. This is actually my reality. Sometimes we say real situation, especially when we're in the dichotomy or the transition between spiritual progress and material attachment. So it seems like there's two worlds. Sometimes it's like having a foot in two boats in the water. I actually experienced that one time. It's not like something somebody made up. And I ended up in the water. So that's sometimes what happens. But anyway, when we're in that situation, so we see two worlds, and sometimes we think that we say reality, meaning the situation that's tangible for me. So our reality will be whatever situation is actually tangible for us, whatever we can identify with, whatever is that in which we absorb our thoughts, our activities, our mind. So when one is very, very advanced on the spiritual platform, then our reality is to be with Krishna, to be with the Supreme Lord. And material existence is actually a duty. Just like we have many duties in life pertaining to this body, so that we have to bathe, we have to do many things. And there's one place in China, interestingly enough, where it hardly ever rains, just speaking about bathing, because it seems like very normal to us. But there's so little water there that many people bathe twice in their lives. Once when they're born, and once when they get married. Otherwise, marriage may be difficult. But anyway, we have that opportunity, especially here, there's plenty of water. So these are necessities. We don't want to bathe all the time. So that's a necessity. So in the beginning of spiritual advancement, spirituality is a necessity, a duty, something I have to do. And therefore my reality, what I'm in touch with, my base, is my material condition. And that's something, it's not nice. I have to do it because maybe it's salvation, maybe it's my insurance policy not to go into a worse condition, hell, whatever we may believe a worse condition is, another body. And or it's a duty I must perform. But we're more situated on the material side. But actually when we are spiritually advanced, and we're actually situated on that spiritual platform, then the material side is like that. And we come to the point where there is no material, that there's only spiritual. So that is what's being spoken of here. That when you actually reach that platform, then one is satisfied with whatever comes about. But this word here, labha, means greed. So it says one should be greedy, or one should be anxious to acquire that which comes of its own accord. Because it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that happiness and distress, stated in several places, happiness and distress, just like nobody endeavors for distress. Nobody thinks, I need more suffering. No. I need to suffer, especially in this age, in Kali Yuga, in this particular time. Nobody says, I want to increase my suffering. No. But we want to increase our happiness. So, but even the Bhagavatam says, you can't increase your happiness, you can't increase your suffering. Just like I knew one person tried to commit suicide. 5 times. And every time he failed. He jumped off a building. It wasn't that high, but maybe high enough, maybe four stories. And it just so happened that right when he jumped, this cart, somebody was moving a cart with a canopy, and he hit the canopy. No. Then he tried to cut himself, but then immediately somebody came in and took him to the hospital. Right? He tried to take some pills, and then, this is before I entered Krishna consciousness, and then he threw up. No, just made him sick, and he threw up. After five times, he said, well, I guess I'm supposed to live. No. So happiness or distress, no, they will come of their own accord, as it says here. So our endeavor in life, as it says here, should be, actually this text is not talking about what that perfection is, that's in another text. But we should be satisfied in this world because that means, Krishna's indicating here in this particular text, that means that there's something much better. No? The whole Bhagavad Gita is to create a better situation in our lives. So that means there must be a better situation. So this word greed, when Srila Prabhupada spoke about this particular aspect, he said, this is the problem. But greed can be our biggest problem and our biggest solution, depending on how we apply it. If we apply greed to material things, no, it creates so many problems. And ironically, the modern society is based on that. No? At least the consumer society, the whole idea of consumerism, by which this country is very much embraced, is the idea is you have to consume more. Otherwise, the whole philosophy is greed. No? We want to increase your greed. Every advertisement, every propaganda, everything, is increase your greed, because more people consume, just like we were discussing this yesterday, when the consumer index is up, the economy is okay. No, just consume more and more and more. But this is an impossible situation. No? It's an impossible situation, but yet that's our modern society. No? It gets so bad, it's like someone pointed out an article to me, it gets so bad that even greed enters into the area of medicine. Now, this particular article was speaking about people who have terminal illness. You know? And nowadays, in our modern society, people who have terminal illness, you know, usually like 25% of all pharmaceuticals and medical bills are for people who are in their last few months or last year. Because they hook them up to all kinds of machines and this and that, you know, costing thousands of dollars, even sometimes thousands of dollars a day, you know. And there's no hope. And even many times, the people themselves don't even want that. But they're so weak and so debilitated, they can't even say no. You know? Even in the 13th century, there was a book called Ars Moriendi in Latin, The Art of Dying. You know? And in that book, and of course we have the Tibetan Book of the Dead, different books. We have many places in our scriptures that speak about dying. Sometimes people say that that's pessimistic. No, it's realistic. But anyway, especially if you actually are dying, then, of course, we all are dying. Srila Prabhupada made that point many times, that we shouldn't think from the very moment you're born, you begin to die. So it's the only thing we have to do. There's nothing else we have to do. There's always options, but that one, there's no option. We can make it our last death. That option we have, but last time giving up this body. But anyway, in this book, it was recommended, you know, prayer, contemplation, you know, the family, saying goodbye, all kinds of different things. There were different points of emphasis that, you know, last moments with the cherished ones for those who are not so spiritually inclined. And certainly it's better than being hooked up to a machine. Right? Just we see the little lights blinking, and that's as far as your consciousness reaches. No? See some lights, and then you can't even think about anything. I've seen a few of those cases. And so the idea was, You're going to leave, so prepare yourself. Prepare yourself, prepare others. Just like the one story we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Prachina Bhadishat, where he's being told by Narad Muni the story of Paranjana. And Paranjana, in his last moments, he's thinking, what will they do without me? He's thinking like that. His family members are there. And he's thinking, what will they do without me? Instead of thinking, what am I going to do? And what's going to happen to me? So a lot of times that concern. Srila Prabhupada told the story of one very wealthy man in Calcutta that he told his doctors, I'll pay you any amount of money, just give me 4 more years. I have some things I have to finish up, so give me 4 more years. But such a thing is not necessary. But that art of dying, it's now been converted into a business. So this greed gets so intense that even people, taking advantage of people who, may not even be taking advantage of, maybe so let's try to save them. But what are we saving them? What are we doing to them? So it's a very dangerous thing. Very, very dangerous thing. And it leads to, as Srila Prabhupada said, so much competition. Because people are thinking, actually the false sense of competition, that someone has so much and therefore I need to have that much. When, if we believe, and what Bhagavad Gita says, if we believe what the Vedas say, if we believe what Srimad Bhagavatam says, there's no possibility. There's no possibility for some people. And we all have that experience. We see people who are born very healthy. They eat anything, they do anything, and there's no problem. Other people, they have all kinds of health problems, and they may be taking all kinds of cures, the best medicines, and etc. Or someone may be automatically or get some huge amounts of money without any endeavor, and other people make so much endeavor and they make no money. So this is called destiny. This is called karma. And so Bhagavad Gita here, Sri Krishna is telling us that because that situation is inevitable. But the purpose of that situation is modifiable. It's something that you can change. The whole purpose of that situation is to understand that this is not reality. This is not the real purpose of life. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni, he was telling the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was walking, touring his kingdom and walking through the forest. He came upon a great saintly person who was lying on the ground with leaves all over his body and dirt and everything, just lying there. He could see, but because Prahlad was a great devotee, he could see this is a saintly person. So he offered his respects, and then he said, "My dear sir, I see that you are a great saintly person, but how is it that you're so plump? You're so, generally speaking, saintly persons are very thin and they're doing austerities. You're like well-fed. You look well-fed." So he said, please excuse my impertinence, but..." And so he said, "Actually, because you are a great saintly person, you know this, but I will say it anyway." He said, "Actually, I also was striving in this world for so many things. I was striving to get ahead. I was striving for money. But then I realized that sometimes I made something and sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I strive very hard and there was no success. Sometimes without any endeavor, there were great results. So I began to analyze. I began to think. I began to study the scriptures. And you say that I look very, corpulent, just like a wealthy person. Sometimes wealthy people, very wealthy people, because they don't have to work so hard, they may get a little overweight and not move around very much. But actually, that has been my choice. But I'm not a wealthy person. I have been a wealthy person, but not anymore. Because A wealthy person is always in anxiety. You know? Anxiety about his servants, anxiety about his work, anxiety about his wealth, anxiety about his property. So therefore, when I experienced wealth, I found no pleasure. No. So he said, now I simply accept whatever comes. I simply stay here. And right now, if someone comes and feeds me, then I take it. And if no one feeds me, then I don't. Sometimes I'm big, sometimes I'm very small, sometimes I lie on the ground, sometimes people give me facility and I lie in bed, a very beautiful bed with silk. Whatever situation comes, I simply accept it as the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No. So, of course, Prahlad Maharaj was very satisfied because he said, my satisfaction is within. No. And when one feels satisfaction within, the outside satisfaction becomes an instrument of just self-preservation. No. We all have senses. The senses produce desires. So if one understands those desires with spiritual intelligence, then we'll eat what's necessary, we'll sleep what's necessary, we'll work to the degree that it's necessary. Just like there's also a saying, nahi suptasya simhasya, that the lion, being very powerful and big, king of the forest, cannot simply sleep and sit there with his mouth open and think pravishanti mukha mriga, that the animals will walk into my mouth. No, I just sit there. It may work for the python saint, but it won't work for the lion. No, so because people are willing to serve a saintly person, at least pious people, but the lion has to work very hard. So Srila Prabhupada here is not saying that we shouldn't work or that we shouldn't endeavor, but that endeavor should be according to the reality of our situation. Should be according to what we can actually acquire. And then it says, dvanda atito. One should transcend duality. Because what causes this greed? The duality of this world. And it's mentioned here, heat and cold. Just like it's a little warm right now. No. So everyone's thinking, yes, take prasadam, watch the play, and then get back to my air conditioning. No. Or when it's very cold, we're thinking, let me go into the house and warm up. No. So, these situations, we should understand that there's no satisfaction by external arrangement. No. That actually the external arrangements are made to preserve this body. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that actually life is made for self-realization. But to maintain this body, to live, it's required to do something. And that to do something that will produce some profit, some excess. But that excess should be used only for self-realization. And whatever satisfaction that may be there should only be to the point of preserving our existence, preserving our body, preserving ourselves. No. And otherwise, it's not necessary. No. Otherwise, just use the rest or whatever else for one's self-realization or self-realization of others. But when we speak about, as Srila Prabhupada says here, someone who's not even so interested in maintaining their body. This means someone who is very spiritually attached. And this is the other side of alabha or greed. No. There is spiritual greed. And that spiritual greed, one very beautiful poem by Sri Rupa Goswami, one of our great masters, acharyas. He says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita amati, that if one actually wants to get the real taste of spiritual life. No. Because spiritual life is not a duty. Spiritual life is not something that I just do so that you know, to increase my material situation. That's called religiosity. But spirituality is something that I enjoy, that I that can produce spiritual bliss, that can absorb my consciousness totally, all the time. That is spirituality. So it says if we want to experience that spirituality, then there's only one way to get it. Kriyatam yarukutopi labhyate. Only one way you can get it. Tatralo yam api mulya ikalam. There's one price, and that price is intense greed. Ardacharya Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if one wants, there's no question of developing the love of God if there is not an intense desire to attain it. No question. You can't have, you can have some degree of spiritual satisfaction, some degree of religiosity, but the situation is that degree of spiritual religiosity or material prosperity and goodness or material happiness, that situation will change. And then my endeavor to get it, or what the circumstances around that create the opportunity to have that situation, will also change. But the one thing that we can be sure of is that if we develop an intense desire to please Krishna, to please the Lord, to serve the Lord, to be engaged in loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, that is something which is manageable. That is something we ourselves can control, something that we can be able to, it's something attainable. Whereas material prosperity is not always attainable. And even if it is, there's no way that we can secure it. Because generally speaking, you know, even it's said about the demigods, celestial beings who have such a wonderful material situation. Just like in the Mahabharata, there's the story of one Brahmana, a very poor Brahmana. So he was told by the rich landowners that you can come and you can, you know, whatever grains fall on the ground after we've harvested, you can collect those grains and you can take them home. So he would go and collect grains, but he was such a charitable person that on the way back home, he would give, you know, all the saintly persons he saw, he would give them some grains, and by the time he got home, he would just have a handful, and his wife would chastise him. No, you're giving to everyone, and we are the ones that have the less. I'm sorry, what can I do? And every day we do the same thing. So after some time, all of a sudden, a chariot came out of the sky and stopped before him. And these beautiful, luminous beings got out and said, "So, congratulations." Sometimes we see that on the internet. You know, you see this little box, "Congratulations." Although it never worked, you know, you don't get anything out of it. But he had an opportunity. So this being said, "Now you are going to be promoted for your pious activities and your sacrifice. You will be promoted to the heavenly planet." And he said, "Oh, so what are the heavenly planets like?" So he said, "Oh, so wonderful. Unlimited pleasure. No, you live, you know, no disease, no problems, no. Except an occasional mountain that may come and crush you, but, you know, some demons that may attack. But there's, generally speaking, it's very nice." No. And he said, and is that permanent? That's a permanent situation? It's almost permanent. I mean, it's you live so long, it's almost eternal. You know, he said, but then it's not eternal. Practically speaking, it's eternal. But it's not eternal. Well, not eternal. They said, "Thank you very much." So they thought, "What a fool." No. So they left. And he continued, because he was a Vaishnava, he was a devotee of the Lord, he would offer everything to the Supreme Lord. And then after some time, some years passed by, he continued with his activities, never wanting anything from this world, simply living with that which was necessary to maintain himself. And then Another chariot came, but this time the charioteers were Vishnudutas. No. They said, "You can come to Vaikuntha." He said, "Yes, okay, that's fine." Immediately, no, he could go to the spiritual world, where actually, no, one can live eternally. But the wonderful thing that Krishna says here in Bhagavad Gita is that that is not something we have to wait. We don't have to wait for that chariot. No, actually, we can live in that consciousness by following these instructions, by getting beyond duality. And a very important thing it says here, to go beyond envy. No, if we can be free from duality, no, happiness, distress, cold, heat, this and that, which always induce us to make a great endeavor to acquire the other thing. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that that the whole our whole life, if we have material consciousness, our whole life is the pursuance of material happiness and the elimination of distress. Both things very difficult to acquire, you know, and especially to preserve. Actually, Krishna says, "Nir yoga kshema atmaban." Everything in this world is, don't endeavor so much for it, because it's very difficult to attain. It's more difficult to preserve, and it's even more difficult to give up. You know? So we acquire something with great endeavor. We make more of an endeavor to preserve it, you know, because everything diminishes and disappears in this world. And then, just like a house or a car or whatever, you know, some people have to rebuild their house before they can even pay for it. You know? Nowadays, especially with the present modern building materials. No. Or your car may be breaking down before you finish paying for it. So, and then to give it up, even more difficult. So, these instructions, give up greed, give up the duality of this world, and give up envy, because that envy is the one thing that has accompanied us since we enter into this material atmosphere. Because who are we envious of? Our first envy is directed toward Krishna. We're envious because the Lord has two characteristics. No, He has many characteristics, but two special characteristics that He's always exercising, which is to enjoy and to control. So out of that envy, we also try to do the same thing again and again and again. We want to enjoy this world, and we want to control our situation. Both things we may be able to do momentarily, but we can't do for very long. So when one comes to this stage of Krishna consciousness, where one is so satisfied that even my material situation is not so important, then you can understand. That doesn't mean we give up our material situation. Just like all of our great spiritual masters, acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was absorbed, immersed in spiritual consciousness, and yet Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was working as a magistrate every day, you know, 50, 60 cases a day, you know, trying 50, 60 cases a day. Nowadays they try one case in 50 days, if you're lucky, you know, if you're lucky. He was doing 50 cases in one day. And perfect decision. And that was his duty. But his life, his activity, but he was so spiritually powerful that even his spiritual potency would dominate his external activity. And always, you know, practically all day long, sleeping, practically not sleeping, 2.5-3 hours a day, eating very little, not out of some self-punishment, but because there was no interest, there was no need. So spiritually absorbed. And of course, our greatest example of that satisfaction is Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. Sometimes when we hear this, we think that that means that, no, I have to give up so many things. But Raghunath Das Goswami didn't have to give up anything. He was wealthy. He was very well. His parents were wealthy, and they were giving him everything. He was their only son. And not only that, They could see he wasn't very interested in all the material wealth and all the things that were surrounding him. So they said, let us get him the most beautiful wife in the whole region. And because they were very wealthy, they looked around, they found the most beautiful eligible girl. So he had the most beautiful wife, unlimited wealth, and he wasn't interested. Why? Because he had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that spiritual impact, that desire, that greed to be with the Supreme Lord was so strong, so powerful, that these things were meaningless to him. And the only thing he could think of, let me get away. Let me go be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the Supreme Lord. And his mother was, some mothers are always attached, you know, very attached. So his mother was saying to her husband, he's trying to get away. We have to tie him up. We have to do something. No, can't let him get away. And his father said, if he has the most beautiful wife and all these riches, and that can't tie him here, there's no question of tying him here. But anyway, they made some endeavor. And he finally got away. And he joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wanted to immediately give up everything. But Mahaprabhu said, no, you go back. And he went back. But then he got away again. And this time, no, his father and his uncle said, okay, you stay. But we're going to send you money every month. No? And they send him a large amount of money. And with that money, he would make a big festival for all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now any of us would think, hey, this is the perfection of life. No? Get a lot of money, make a nice festival, spiritual festival. Everybody's happy. Mahaprabhu's happy. I'm happy. No? Everybody's happy, everybody gets prasadam, we'll get some in a few minutes. No. So, yeah, perfect situation. But that wasn't enough. Because his love, his attachment for the Supreme Lord was so strong that after a while, there were no more festivals. And Mahaprabhu asked Swarup Damodar that, where's Raghunath? You know, what happened to the festivals? I said, no, now he's at the Simhadwar, the temple gate, and he's doing a madhukar. He's just asking for some whatever he can get to sustain himself. Oh, very good, very good. So after some time, he didn't see him anymore there. He said, what is he doing? And he said, no, he was thinking that this madhukar is almost like a prostitute, you know, just waiting for somebody to give me something. So what is he doing? Oh, he simply goes behind the temple where the remnants of the whatever's left over is thrown out. And after the cows have eaten, he takes what's left over, washes off the rotten part, and eats that. So Mahaprabhu said, let's go see him. So they went to see him, and he just had a small handful of his, you know, would be totally unedible to us. He was just ready, and Mahaprabhu said, so, Raghunath, what do you have there? No. And what are you depriving me of? And he hid it. No, nothing. But Mahaprabhu grabbed it and took it. And he said, now you have made me very happy. No. Of course, Swarup Damodar said, no, don't take this. This is not for you. But so the Lord is pleased when we can become so attached to him that we're willing to make sacrifice. It may be a little bit of sacrifice, depends on our particular situation in life, or it may be a great sacrifice, like Raghunath Goswami. We can't imitate Raghunath Goswami or Madhavendra Puri or all these great devotees of the Lord. We can't imitate them. But we can emulate the spirit of their loving service to the Supreme Lord. We can try to understand, you know, what is the beauty of this love of God? There must be so much into this. At least we can become inquisitive that this degree of love for Krishna is so great that if it can have such an impact on these great devotees, then at least some simple endeavor on my part, because Krishna is very satisfied. Because he knows he's within the heart, he can see if we're making an endeavor to do something to him, even where there's a little sacrifice. And sacrifice is not something that's foreign to us. Everybody is sacrificing daily in work, and maintaining one's family and studying, education, some of the sacrifice. We're surrounded by sacrifice. But when it comes to spiritual sacrifice, somehow or another, that's our limit. No, I can't do any more. But this is the most important sacrifice. So this is what Krishna is saying here. This is the sacrifice that we should endeavor for. This will actually make us happy. So I will stop here. Are there any questions? Yes. Krishna. Would you speak up a little? Is there a microphone? I think there's usually a microphone. I'm a little hard of hearing. Okay. Preach to those who...
Sub-religious principles.
With sub-religious principles?
Sub-religious,
yeah. Yes, we try to preach to everyone. No? But we preach to them according to their reality. No? Otherwise, if someone is, very attached or very sinful, then we try to get them to chant the holy name, take prasadam, something that will give them some spiritual benefit. So... that is the intelligence required for us to preach. We have to be able to discern what someone needs. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was, after he had taken sannyas on his way to Jagannath Puri, he met one tantric sannyasi. So this tantric sannyasi told him that, he was worshipping Lord Shiva, had his little trident, And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, please come to my ashram and take part of my bliss, which meant wine. No? So Mahaprabhu, he encouraged him, he said, yes, I will do that. And he even embraced him, but he didn't go. No? But he made him feel good. No? He made him, gave him some glimmer of hope, some drop of mercy. No? So... we just have to have the intelligence to understand what someone in their particular situation can assimilate. Yes. What is the most practical way? To live in a reality that is all spiritual. That's the question. So, what is a practical way, most practical way to live in a situation that is totally spiritual? No. Everything is spiritual. Meaning in context of modern life. No. Not meaning in Radhakund with. No. Okay. No. So, and the most practical way is exactly what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. No? Ma manushvara yudhya cha. Always remember me. Arjuna, fight and always remember me. No? Learn the art. This is called the art of yoga. No? I will endeavor to do what is, what I have to do in this world according to my situation. But I will learn yad karoshi yad ashnasi yad jirahosi didasi yad. How to offer everything, my eating, my work, and everything to Krishna. So that's the art. That's an art. That is our challenge. That is our, that is our endeavor to be expert in offering everything to Krishna. And how do we, of course, sometimes we can imagine I'm offering something to Krishna. So we try to do that in conjunction with those who are more spiritually advanced than us. So that we can understand if my offering is really... because sometimes the subtlety of working and thinking about Krishna at the same time, we may... just like I run into people all the time from different religions or faiths, and they say, oh yes, I have God in my heart, I'm always thinking about God. No. But actually Krishna, in an indirect way, in Bhagavad Gita, he says that, be very careful. No. Be very careful, Because whatever you dedicate yourself to, that will become your deity. That is your real deity. So we may say, I'm doing this for Krishna, but if my real desire is to please myself, then that's not spiritual. Maybe it's nice that you're trying to take Krishna into account, but by having expert guidance, just like in anything, in material life and spiritual life, with expert guidance, then our endeavor will be more successful. Yes. Oh yes, please. Yes. Thank you very much. So I think because of the time, any other... Oh, no, I don't know what the situation is. Is there any other question? I just try to be obedient to the local custom. Any other question? Any other comment? Yes? Yes, sir. Yes, the question is, for those that might not have heard, is that I was saying about having your feet in two different boats, one foot in two different boats. So that may be a situation that many are feeling in Grihastha life, that they want to simplify things, but at the same time there are many demands. The best advice I can give is to decrease the demands, you know, as much as possible. You know, because we're surrounded by an environment, as I mentioned in the beginning, by greed, by, you know, being encouraged to increase one's material endeavors to the highest degree. So if we associate with that atmosphere, then the material endeavor will increase. And if we associate with those persons who are actually absorbed in spiritual consciousness, then it will be much easier to decrease, you know, my desires, decrease my, you know, to a very minimum. So it really depends on association. This is a very, very important factor. Oh, you provide enough. You definitely provide enough, but you also try to provide for those who you're providing for the most important thing, which is their own spiritual understanding of what is a need and what is a desire. Just like Gandhi said, if we endeavor for what we desire, there's not enough for one person. But if we endeavor for what we need, there's enough for everyone. And of course, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam, no, the Ishupanishad says that if everyone just tries to take their quota, just like the quota for Yudhishthir was a palace and treasury and everything, and the quota for Sudam Vipra was a little space. But he got a palace also. But he still wanted just a little space to sleep in. He wasn't overcome by that. No. Sometimes that is a difficult situation, that one may be in the mood of simplifying, and those you are providing for may be in the mood of expanding their material experience. So then that means that we also have to endeavor to bring them along with us in their understanding of the purpose of life. And of course, if all my family members are very materially inclined, then that might be my karma, you know. And I have to struggle with that for some time, just like Srila Prabhupada had to struggle with that to a certain degree. And then the time came when he responsibly finished his duty, and then, you know. So So we have examples in, very recent examples in our spiritual movement and our whole sampradaya of, you know, people who renounce everything right away, people have to endeavor to renounce. So there are all kinds of different, you know, just understand that I have a particular situation and always be satisfied. If my situation is difficult, just like it says here, sometimes there is difficulty, sometimes everything's very easy. So even if I have difficulty, I should be satisfied with that. Live it and still be absorbed in spiritual consciousness. Yes. A little louder, maybe, so everyone can hear. Yes. Yes. Yes, it's interesting also that Raghunath Das Goswami had to endeavor to renounce, no? Otherwise, he had to endeavor to renounce. We endeavor to get more, and he had to endeavor to renounce. So everything in this world requires some endeavor, no? Any other question or comment? Okay. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.